Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Promise of Queen Esther, as we pick up in Esther, chapter 4, verse 12. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And so they told Mordecai the words of Esther, and he sent an answer to her, and he said, "Esther, don't think within yourself that you are going to escape, though you're in the king's house, more than all of the Jews. If this commandment goes forth, Esther, though you are the queen, though you are in the king's house, it is a kind of a commandment that you will not be able to escape. For if you altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" First of all, we note Mordecai's tremendous faith and confidence in the purposes of God to be fulfilled. Though Esther may fail, God will not fail. The Jewish race shall be preserved. God has made promises and predictions for them that must be fulfilled. And Mordecai expresses tremendous faith in the purposes of God, knowing that they're going to be fulfilled even if man fails. Mordecai, knowing the faithfulness of God and keeping his promises and keeping his word, knew that somehow God would spare the Jewish people from this edict that had been given. The idea that he is impressing upon Esther is, who knows, Esther, but what maybe God has chosen you to be the instrument in bringing to pass his purposes. Maybe God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. 5 years when you were chosen to be queen, maybe God had positioned you for this very moment, for this very task of saving your people. Maybe that's why this all transpired before. I do believe that all of us come to that place in life for which God has been preparing us. Paul, as he is writing to the Ephesians, said, "You are his workmanship. You've been created together in Christ Jesus unto the good works that God has before ordained that you should accomplish, that you should fulfill." In other words, what Paul is saying is God has set out a plan for your life. God has foreordained the work that he intends for you to do for the glory of the kingdom. He's already got it all worked out, but in the meantime, he's working in you to prepare you for that work that he's prepared that you should do. Now, a lot of times while we're in this time of preparation, as God is working in us, we're chomping at the bit. I'm prone to despise these days of small things. I want to see the purpose, the plan of God. I don't like this time of preparation. And many times a person has a tendency to jump out ahead of the Lord. And, you know, I'm going to do it on my own. It's sort of like Jacob, "Lord, I've waited long enough, and now I'm going to handle it myself." The purposes of God are too slow in being fulfilled or in coming to pass. So let's jump in and do it ourselves. And so many times we jump in ahead of God and we find ourselves totally failing. But that's all a part of the training too. Perhaps God is showing you you can't do it yourself. And so he allows you those times of failure. The wrong conclusion to make, though, is that if you in doing it yourself fail, that it can't be done or you can't do it. It was only a matter of timing. You can't really do it until God is ready to do it through you. And so God brings us, I do believe, to those places that He has been preparing us for. That moment that all of this life up to this point was being designed and planned and ordained by God to bring me to this place of now beginning to see the fulfillment and all of the purposes of God that He had in that earlier experiences that I did not understand. That hard school in which I was just weeping and straining and, you know, enduring. But finally, I come to this place, and now God has brought me to the kingdom for such a time as this. This becomes God's time to do His work, and it's always exciting when you come to that time of life. Now, the interesting thing to me is that in 3 days' time, Esther fulfilled the whole purpose of God for her life. The rest of it, she could just cruise and enjoy being queen. But in 3 days, all of the preparation up to that point was for these three critical days. God brought her to the kingdom for such a time as this, these three momentous days. God is going to work. God is going to deliver His people. Esther, if you fail to fulfill the purpose of God, then when the decree is enacted, you're going to be destroyed with your family. I'm going to be wiped out too. It's really designed against me. But you and your father's house, you'll be destroyed. God will save His people somehow, some way, because God has His eternal purposes for them. But Esther, maybe this is the reason why God's brought you to the kingdom. Who knows? But what you came to the kingdom for just such a time as this. So she sent the answer back out to Mordecai. To go and gather together all of the Jews that are present in this capital city of Shushan and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Interesting now that in a sense, Esther has a 3-day sentence of death sort of hanging over her. You fast and pray. Have everybody fast and pray for me. My maidens and I will fast and pray for 3 days. And I will then go in. And if I perish, I perish. Now, on the 3rd day, Esther went in. We'll get that in as we move into the next chapter. And the king raised his scepter. New life, resurrected life. The sentence of death is over. She lives. 3 days under the sentence of death. The 3rd day, new life. Remind you of anything? As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, seaweed wrapped around him, as he said, hotter than hell. He said he thought he was in hell. The waves were sloshing over me. If it were a well, the mammal, the 98-degree temperature with humidity, which must have been horrendous. But the 3rd day, deposited on the beach. We already mentioned Abraham, who for 3 days journeyed with Isaac and the servants. And in the mind of Abraham, his son was dead. He knew his mission. was to sacrifice. And as he would look at Isaac, he would think of what was going to transpire, and it was like he were dead. But on that third day, it was like resurrection because of the substitute ram that was caught by its horns. And so in a very clever, subtle way through the Old Testament, God was setting the stage for that New Testament experience where Jesus Christ, 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth, but the third day, he rose again, life out of death. And so Esther said, you know, fast and pray for 3 days and I will go in. So Mordecai went his way and he did according to all that Esther commanded him. And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and she stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. No doubt this was the protocol. If the king accepted you and held it out, you come and touch the top. And so the king said unto her, "What do you desire, Queen Esther? What is your request?" "It will be given to you to the half of the kingdom." This, of course, was a typical kind of a overstatement that was made as a mark of generosity. And all you remember when King Herod, the daughter of Herodias, danced before him, and he was pleased with the dance, and so he called her and he said, "What do you want? I'll give you anything to the half of the kingdom." It was just a typical kind of an exaggerated overstatement, but Esther didn't ask for half of the kingdom, but she answered and said, "If it seems good to the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." "I'd just like to invite you to come and banquet in my quarters, you and Haman with you." And the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste so that he may do as Esther has said." And so the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Now, this wasn't the banquets, this particular type of banquet wasn't, you know, where you have the pheasants and the squab under glass and wild rice and that kind of stuff. It was just wines and desserts. And the king said to Esther at the banquet of wine, "What is your desire? What is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed." Again, this magnanimous offer to Esther. And Esther answered and said, "My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said." "I want you to come again tomorrow, and tomorrow I'll tell you what it is." It could be that she got cold feet. You know, when it came down to the actual request, it could be that she felt, you know, just a reluctance to do it, got cold feet. And so, like so often, when we have something that we're not quite sure of, we're a little apprehensive, we like to postpone it. "Well, tomorrow, you know, come and, you know, let's do this again, and I'll tell you tomorrow." So Haman went forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But as he went out, here was Mordecai in the king's gate, and he did not stand, he did not move, he just sat there. And so he was full of indignation against Mordecai. I mean, this just, here he goes out, you know, the queen invited me, and he's just happy and joyful. And then he sees this guy, and suddenly the whole thing turns sour. Can't stand it, you know. Just, it's amazing how that our emotions can change so rapidly, and happiness, you know, we're just extremely happy, you know, and it so quickly can flip, and we're angry. I bought a new car once because the dealer was coming to Calvary, and he told me to come over, and he would cut the price way down and give me the car of my choice. So he ordered the car from the factory, special made, and it was a beautiful car. He offered me all the options for nothing, so I put every option on that the factory had. I went over to pick it up, a beautiful car. And as I was driving that car home, I was just in close to heaven. I mean, it was just, you know, it was just such a comfortable car, such a beautiful car. And everybody was turning and looking, you know. It was just one of those things. And I felt, man, it's mine, you know, all mine. And I was just praising the Lord. I was so blessed. Just, God, you're so good. My, you know, the sky was blue. The world was beautiful. The trees were, it was just glorious. On the way home, I stopped at the market to get a quart of milk, I think, and a loaf of bread that Kay was needing, and there in the market, parking lot, someone opened their door and dinged the door of my brand new car. I hadn't even got the thing home yet. When I saw that, I was so totally sick inside. I got so angry and upset. Suddenly the sky was a dark, dingy, smoggy gray. People, I hate them. Why do I have to live on this earth with all of these rotten people who would do such an inconsiderate, unkind thing and just open it? It's careless, horrible. And oh, all the way home from the store, I was just in a rage. My first new car I'd ever had in my life, and one not even get it home. But so are the joys of the world. Fortunately, my son Chuck was home, and he helped me. When he saw the ding and I started into my rage to explain it, he said, "Oh, Dad, it's all gonna burn." And I said, "Thank you, son, I needed that." He corrected my perspective. But the world is that way, and here he is, you know, oh man, you know, I'm, you know, big stuff. And then he sees this fella, and suddenly he's in a rage. This guy's not even moving for him, looking at him with disdain. So Haman refrained himself. He wanted to go home and go right over and grab him by the throat then and do him in. But he refrained himself. But when he came home, he called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And he told of all of the glory and the riches, the multitude of his children. I have 10 sons, you know, and I have all of these riches. The king has honored me, put me second in command, you know, and I've got all of this. The king's promoted me. He's advanced me above all of the princes and the servants. And even Esther the queen didn't let anybody come with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. I mean, man, I'm getting in with the whole network. And tomorrow I'm invited unto her with the king again. I mean, I'm really big stuff. Yet, he said, all of this availeth me nothing as long as I see Mordecai the Jew just sitting there at the king's gate. All of these blessings, all of this glory is totally dissipated by that little guy that sits out there. Isn't it interesting how that something can get under our skin and irritate us, and we just seem to forget all of the glorious blessings that God has given because we've allowed some little irritant to just be there, and it keeps us from enjoying all that God has done and all that God has provided. Oh, God, help us not to lose that joy because of some irritant.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the book of Esther in our next lesson. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study of Esther. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord give you strength, and may you walk and live after the Spirit, and may you respond after the Spirit. In the temptation, may you not yield to the flesh and react after the flesh. May your life be pleasing unto God as our actions come into harmony with our declarations of what we believe. May we show it in the works that we do. In Jesus' name.
We're excited to announce that the Word for Today Bible is back, with more notes by Pastor Chuck highlighting a clear understanding of the Scriptures. And after much research and consideration, we have produced quality leather and paperback bindings that are durable and strong, able to withstand the test of time. Features include Words of Christ in red, an exhaustive concordance, cross-references, in-text and color maps, special study notes by Pastor Chuck with Hebrew and Greek word origins and definitions, the history of Calvary Chapel, and the book, How Can a Man Be Born Again?, which can be very informative for new believers. It's our prayer that as you read the Word for Today Bible, Pastor Chuck's commentaries will give you an insightful understanding into the Scriptures, causing God's Word to come to life in your own heart. For more information, please call the Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. You can read a sneak preview of the Word for Today Bible by visiting thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.